This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a joy to be with all of you in this hour of worship and to welcome you into this time together, whether you're joining us over live stream or here in the sanctuary. We expect God to be in our midst and to experience the Holy Spirit as we worship together today. I'd like to invite you to take a moment to let us know that you're here by registering your attendance. If we're in the sanctuary, there are registration pads at the end of each row. If you could begin signing those and passing them down if you haven't already. And if you're worshiping online, there's a link in the browser you can place and register that way. Also in your bulletins, there is a QR code that if you know what those are and how to use those, you can scan that QR code and it will take you to a place to register your attendance, to make your offerings, to share your prayer concerns, that sort of thing. So that option is also present in the bulletin. A few announcements as we gather this morning. Right after this service at 9:45 in Scales Chapel, which is the small chapel just at the end of the hallway and to the right on this floor, Reverend Shannon Baxter wanted to invite any and all who are interested in ushering or greeting on Sunday mornings to come and learn more about that ministry and participate in a training. It makes such a difference when someone walks into this space for the very first time or not for the first time, but is greeted with a smile and called by name and welcomed. And we want to be a kind of congregation that offers a warm welcome to each and every one who comes in the door. So we need folks like you to do that. And I would encourage and invite you, if you feel a nudge, to go to that training and learn more about that very important ministry. If you are a college or graduate student here in Nashville, wanted to let you know that our students go to lunch every Sunday after the 11 o'clock service. So if you're here at this service, we'd love for you to come back at noon. The group gathers in the back in what we call the narthex back there and walk to lunch together. And it's on a gift from the church. So we hope you'll join us for that. The season of Lent is upon us, my friends. It begins on Wednesday, and one of our wonderful traditions here at West End is to celebrate Shrove Tuesday with a pancake supper and jazz mass, a final celebration before the 40-day journey of Lent begins. And so the pancake supper will be at 5 o'clock on Tuesday down in McWhorter Hall. And we'll be accepting donations, if you feel led to make a donation, that will go toward our young adult ministry. And then Jazz Mass will be at 6:30. And if you've never been to Jazz Mass, you got to come. It's so much fun. The next day will be Ash Wednesday. We'll have a service at noon here in the sanctuary and over live stream, and another at 6:15. 6:15, it's a different time from Tuesday on Ash Wednesday evening. There's information in the bulletin about some of the readings and prayer practices we'll be doing together during the season of Lent, so that, as Pastor Will says, we will be praying in the same direction throughout the season. So I invite you to take a look at those and join us in that. Church tradition gives us this day, the Sunday before Lent begins, as a celebration of the Transfiguration. So as we prepare to hear that story and experience the mystic beauty and glory of our God, let us open our hearts and minds to this time of worship together.
Oh, please join me in the call to worship found in your bulletin. Lord, you revealed your glory on the mountain to your disciples.
Show us your glory.
Reveal to us the light of your countenance as we worship you this day.
Show us your glory.
Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confession with the confidence of children of God. Radiant God, source of light, as you surrounded Jesus with your glory, so you come to us in penetrating brightness. You catch us off guard and expose our weaknesses. For the times we seek the spectacular, call us to acts of mercy and justice. When it is easier to create safety nets and hoard you for ourselves, remind us that your love knows no bounds. Where we have sought to limit you, expand our imaginations. Move our hearts from the temporal to the eternal, so we may carry your good news to all others. And now, O God, we offer our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name
of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Thank you.
great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Chris and Taylor Smiley bring their son before God and before the community of faith for baptism.
My family in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all of this is God's gift, offered to us without price. Chris and Taylor, I ask you now on behalf of the whole church these ancient questions of the faith as you bring your son forward for baptism. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say we do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say we do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to all people? If so, say we do. And will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and your example, he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, say we will. My friends in the congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, please say, we do. And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this precious child now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness, that he may grow in service with others. We will pray for him to be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea, their children brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away sin and clothe him in righteousness throughout his life, that dying and being raised with Christ, he may share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. And what name have you given your son?
Christopher James.
Christopher James Smiley. I baptize you in the name of God, the Father who created you, Christ the Son who redeems you, and the Holy Spirit who lives within you and will be your friend and comforter all the days of your life. Okay, James, we're going to step a little closer to Mom and Dad and your godparents. And Pastor Shannon's going to join us, and all of us are going to lay a hand on you and pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit in your life. James, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your beautiful life. Amen. All right, James, we're going to take a little walk, and we're going to get a little bit closer to these folks out here who... You know what? They already love you, and they're your church family. Look at those children who sang in the choir. You're going to be doing that in a few years, I bet. And these folks out here are going to be Sunday school teachers and youth counselors, and one of them might be your confirmation mentor. And they're going to love you and show you what it means to love God and love your neighbor and to be loved. So let's listen as they make their promises to you.
Will the congregation please open your bulletins to the commendation and welcome, stand and face Christopher James. Now it is our joy to welcome our new brother in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Christopher James to your love and your care. Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given to you, Christopher James, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, God may be glorified.
In the prayer for illumination found in your bulletin. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. When a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I'd love to have a moment with the children. So if you're here in the sanctuary and you want to come and join me, I would love to see you up here. And if you're worshiping from home, just get a little closer to your screens and we'll have just a minute together. Wow, look at all of you. All of our singers, our acolytes. It's wonderful to see you all. Feel free to bring a parent or grandparent or friend with you. This moment is for everybody. In fact, sometimes I have grown-ups who say to me, I understood your children's message better than I did your sermon, so it's for everybody. Come on up. What a happy day. So good to see all of you. Well, Ellie just read a story about Jesus. And it's a story about Jesus going up on the mountain to pray, and he took three of his disciples with him. And while they were there, Jesus began to shine. His clothes began to sparkle. And the disciples suddenly could see that Jesus wasn't just their friend and just someone that they'd been spending time with. He was also the Son of God. And they could see God shining through Jesus. One of the things that we believe in the church is that all of us are created in the image of God. It means that God is in all of us. And so really, we're all shining with the love of God in us. So I want to take a minute and just look out there. I want all of you out there to smile really big, just a bright, loving smile, okay? Now you guys turn and look at all those bright, shining faces. It's like they're all shining with the love of God. Can you smile like you're shining? Yeah. We're supposed to shine God's love in this world. So that helps me remember when I'm just walking through the grocery store or driving my car or doing normal things during the day, that every person I see is shining with the love of God. And that helps me be kinder. And it helps me love myself too. Let's pray together. Gracious God, you love us so much. Help us to shine your love in this world. And help us when we look at other people, no matter who they are, what they're wearing, how they look, that they are your child and they're shining too. Thank you for loving all of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds can go and shine in Children's Church with Pastor Maggie and Molly. Then you belong in Children's Church. And if you're older than that, you can go back and sit with friends or family. A week ago Friday, in the congregational email that went out, which hopefully most of you get that congregational email, I shared a link to a musical performance I had been part of down in Atlanta while I was at a workshop at Candler School of Theology. It wasn't so much a performance as it was an informance. It was led by Professor Jimmy Abingdon, a professor of worship and music at Candler. And he used that word informance to describe it because we were singing and we were experiencing music together, but he was also taking opportunities to teach us about various hymns and the history of some of the songs. But really, more than anything for me, it was a service of worship. We were singing these hymns that, as Dr. Abingdon talked about, had been either adopted and adapted in the Black church or had originated from the Black church. Songs of hope and liberation. And as we were singing and learning and worshiping, I found myself looking around the chapel at the variety of faces and experiences and stories that were gathered. It was an incredibly diverse group of people, and we were all singing our hearts out and clapping and moving our bodies in worship. And my soul was lifted up and filled. It was a thin place for a moment there. You've heard that word used, perhaps. A thin place, either a place or an experience that feels like heaven and earth are so close, that somehow the veil is lifted and we get a glimpse of the holy. We get a taste of beloved community in the kingdom of God. We get a shimmer of glory. And it was that kind of experience for me that day. This morning, we hear a similar kind of experience that Peter, James, and John had with Jesus. It's the story of the Transfiguration. The church places this story on the Sunday before Lent begins for a reason, which we'll talk about in a minute. But these three disciples are invited to go up the mountain with Jesus, presumably to pray, as was Jesus' habit. But while they're up there and while Jesus is praying, as I shared with the children, Jesus' clothing starts to dazzle and shine. And he is transfigured in front of them. And then they see Moses and Elijah come and begin talking with Jesus. The Jews believed that Moses and Elijah were two of the people who were living in heaven, alive with God. They also represent the law and the prophets. So here we see Jesus as the fulfillment of the law and the prophets in this eternal moment, this heavenly moment. And the disciples see him in all of his glory. And then, of course, Peter pulls a Peter. He starts talking. He starts trying to put meaning on it, do something with it, manage it, control the experience. He says, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Thanks, Peter. You didn't really have to say that. Yes, of course it's good. It's good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for Moses, one for Elijah, one for you, and we'll just capture the experience, and we'll just stay here up on this mountain all together, just the six of us. Jesus doesn't respond in the moment. The cloud of mystery continues to cover them, and then a voice speaks and says, "This is my son. Listen to him." Shh, Peter. Just listen. And then the cloud lifts, and there they stand with just Jesus. Now, why this experience? Why Peter, James, and John? I don't know. Jesus takes Peter, James, and John with him on a lot of special occasions, taking them to a further away place or a deeper experience. And I don't know why that is necessarily. But I wonder with this episode if it's perhaps because Peter, James, and John were struggling the most to understand Jesus' mission. Jesus had begun in the chapter before this to talk with the disciples about suffering, to tell them that the road's going to get hard. I'm going to get in trouble. The authorities are going to arrest me. I'm going to be killed. And on the third day, I will rise again, but there is going to be suffering that's coming our way. And in chapter 8, when Jesus says that, Peter pulls him aside and says, well, Mark doesn't tell us what he says. He just says he rebukes Jesus. Peter is not interested in Jesus' suffering. He doesn't think the path of the Messiah should take him through suffering. He doesn't get it yet. And then in the next chapter, in chapter 10, John and James are arguing with each other about who is the greatest. So they're kind of caught up in the rising fame of Jesus. So maybe Jesus knows somehow that these three need some remedial training. They need a little extra help because the road's going to get hard. They need to go to a thin place with Jesus because they're going to be in the thick of it before they know it. And they're going to need this memory, this experience to hold on to remember who Jesus is, to remember that this is an eternal moment, to remember that there will be resurrection, so they can hold on when the road gets hard. I think from time to time, God gives us thin moments or takes us to thin places, gives us experiences where we just get glimmers of heaven or a taste of beloved community so that when we come back down the mountain, when we get to the daily living of our days and get in the thick of it, we can hold on and trust and hope. After I experienced that heavenly moment in that informants at Candler on Thursday, just a few days later, I went to a workshop that Brentwood United Methodist helped to sponsor. The theologian, historian, and writer Jamar Tisby was talking about his new book, How to Fight Racism. He's also written a wonderful book, The Color of Compromise. And he was talking about how the work for equality and justice for all people in our world is just a constant struggle. It takes a sustained commitment. We have to be in the thick of it, working and being aware and doing all we can to live out God's love and justice in the world. And so we need these moments, these thin moments, these moments of celebration and hope and worship and receiving the grace and shining love of God so that we can continue the work down the mountain. I would like to think, my hope and prayer is that this time on Sunday morning each week. This place, if you're here in the sanctuary, or this time together, if you're worshiping over live stream, could be a thin place for all of us. When we gather on Tuesday mornings to plan worship, our prayer is that each one of us can be doing our part and doing our best, the choir in rehearsing, the liturgist in preparing, me in studying the scriptures and preparing a sermon, the musicians and all that we do, so that we can just open up the space to allow the Holy Spirit to do what the Spirit will in our midst, in all of us. And our prayer is that whether it's through a phrase in the opening hymn or a silence that extends a little longer than expected, or the voice of one of our youth reading the scripture text, or the singing of the doxology as we offer our gifts, that our hearts and spirits will be filled with the mystery of God, that we might be transformed and transfigured by our time in a thin place. It's easy to become habitual about our worship life, to come to church on Sunday morning, to turn on the computer and sit down and look for that music that's gonna suit our tastes, and to listen for a sermon or a word that's gonna reinforce what we already believe, make sure the pastor checks off all the things that we believe. But there are already so many spaces in our world that'll just reinforce who we are. There are algorithms on social media that will do that. We can go to our preferred news outlets and be reinforced in what we already think and already believe. We can choose to hang out with friends who look like us and think like us and never be changed. But I pray that this community, this time of worship, this space can be a space where we can be changed. I heard a theologian say years ago, I can't remember who it was, maybe one of my professors at Candler, who said we should have a sign out in the church saying, everyone is welcome in worship. Come join us in worship. You never know what's going to happen. You never know how God might speak to you and to me. I had a member of our church the other day say to me, a relatively new member in the past couple of years, this church is changing me. Now, I would edit that a little to say God is changing us through the church. But what an answer to prayer. That is who we are to be, those who gather for worship and make space for the Holy Spirit and come in with the expectation that we will be changed and transformed. So my hope as I preach is not to tell you what to do or what to think, but to walk with you through the scriptures and say, here's what I saw. What do you see? What is God doing to me and to you as we worship, as we gather, as we come up the mountain to this thin place week after week after week? Because the truth is, we have to go back down the mountain. We go live our daily lives, and God is everywhere, and there are thin places everywhere. It's not just on Sunday morning in churches. But we do have hard things before us. And so we need to come away to a thin place, a thin time, regularly, so we can get back into the thick of it and shine with the love of God.
I invite you to stand as we respond to the word both read and spoken this morning, as we say together the affirmation of faith as found in your bulletin. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. I invite you to please be seated. As we come to our time of prayers, I want to invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. If you'd like to share them with the pastoral team, you can fill out a gray card that's in the pew racks in front of you and place that in the offering plate as it's passed. Or if you're worshiping online, you can click on our Contact Us on our website and leave us a prayer request that way. I want to invite you to look at the prayer request in your bulletin and keep those in mind throughout the week as you spend time in prayer yourself. Some specific ones we want to lift it up today. We want to lift up congratulations to Madeline and Daniel Frankamont. The rose on the altar is to celebrate the birth of their son, Lowell William Frankamont, who was born on February 3rd. We also want to lift our sympathies to Jerry Ishii and family as they mourn the death of Jerry's father, Jerry, of Mississippi on February 4th. Services were held on Friday, February 9th in Ridgeland, Mississippi. And we also pray and offer condolences to the Rader family as they prepare for the memorial service for Jewel McGee Rader, which has been set for Sunday, March 17th at 2 p.m. in the sanctuary with visitation to follow in Reed Hall. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. The Mighty One, God, the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to the place where it sets. From Zion, perfect in beauty, God shines forth. Our God comes and will not be silent. Lord, today we celebrate your never-ending light. We celebrate the lengths you go to share that light with us, urging us to enjoy it, to bask in it, to be changed by it, and to share it. We lift up our voices thanking you for your presence in our lives through your Holy Spirit, and we give thanks for coming to be with us, descending from the place you promised to us to offer us a glimpse of the love and grace you pour on us daily. You are the creator and sustainer, the author of all life, and the one who brings restoration and wholeness to all of your creation, the source of a full life that goes into eternity. We acknowledge our limited sight and understanding, but we recognize that you seek to pour your whole self into us. Your desire is that we be continually formed into your likeness, living an eternity of experiencing you. As we gather today, our hearts are warmed by your presence and our lives are changed forever in this thin place. May all that we offer in worship to you draw us closer to you and cause your light to shine all the brighter through our lives. May those around us see a glimpse of your love and mercy as we interact with them. May they be drawn to you in a way that opens their eyes to accept your love for themselves. As we come to you today, Lord, we lift those things that occupy our hearts and minds, the good, the bad, and the things that are in between. In our restlessness and in our joy, we take this time to present to you our prayers for our family and friends. Our prayers for our community. Our prayers for our local, state, and national governments. For our world. For those that suffer because of injustice. For those that rejoice because of ingenuity and discovery. For those among us that are working through treatment of body, mind, and soul. And Lord, we pray for ourselves. As we share these deep desires of our hearts and minds today, we seek to trust in your grace, a grace that surrounds us even when we don't know it, a grace that leads us to realize our need for you, and a grace that helps us to become all you created us to be. And it's with a trust in your grace that we now pray in unity the words you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now gather our gifts and our offerings together and give them back to God in gratitude and praise. Those of you joining us online are invited to give via the options on the screen, while those of you in the sanctuary will be passing plates down the aisles. May we give with joy to the God who has been so generous to us.
the Spirit nudged me while the choir was singing for one last word. What if you are a thin place and the world can see God in you? With that word, may the Lord make his peace to be with you. May the countenance of God shine upon you that you might shine for the world and know Christ's peace. Amen.